Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Esteban Garcia. Esteban is a solutions architect and ALM consultant at Agile Thought. He's a Visual Studio ALM MVP, a Visual Studio ALM Ranger, and I want to ask him about that. He's the president of OneTug, that's the Orlando.net user group, and he's a Telerik insider, which puts him near and dear to my heart. Esteban, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Tell me about a Visual Studio ALM Ranger. I guess we have to start with ALM and what that is and what that's all about.
So ALM stands for Application Lifecycle Management, which means it's everything from the moment that you come up with a requirement all the way up to the moment that you release something out to production, and even farther once something is out in production. So basically helping teams become better at delivering software and delivering software faster. That's really what the practice of ALM helps you do. So the ALM Rangers is made up of Microsoft product team members, professional service group members, and also a group of very passionate volunteer ALM experts from the field. And that's where that's the group where I fall under. To become an ALM Ranger, you have to be recommended by someone else in the ALM Ranger team. And that's how you get into the ALM Ranger program. The role of the Rangers is that we create out-of-band tooling around TFS and the Visual Studio ALM offering, and also practical guidance. So a lot of people have probably looked at the branching guidance documentation that's available in CodePlex. That's one of the most popular ones. A lot of the hands-on labs that are created around TFS and Visual Studio. Some of other guidance documentation is around requirements, around testing. So a lot of the documents that you find in CodePlex dealing with application lifecycle management is created by the ALM Rangers team.
Okay, I want to go back and zero in a little bit on ALM. Does ALM overlap with or conflict with, or is it part of agile programming, or how do they relate to each other?
I would say that agile programming falls under one of the things that ALM enables you to do. So ALM is more than just the programming side of things. So ALM really focuses in the entire software development lifecycle. So it's ALM looks at the tools that you use, looks at the processes that you use, and allows you to. So it helps all the different teams that are involved in producing software, which is not just the software developers, but it enables everyone to, you know, work together, and it gives you a lot of guidance around that.
So ALM is a set of guidelines and best practices then.
There you go. Correct.
And as part of that, you're producing some tools that supplement Visual Studio. Is that part of what the Rangers do?
Tools and documentation. So some tools such as the Visual Studio Power Tools. There's also integration tools which allow you to migrate from other systems into TFS, and also move data between different Team Foundation Server team projects, which is where you store all your source control and work items. So those are different tools that are being created by the Rangers. There's also some tooling around Microsoft Test Manager, but the majority of what gets produced is guidance documentation. For example, branching guidance. There's a lot of called cheat sheets where you're able to take a look at a diagram, and it shows you, okay, well, this is the way I want to go. This is the best practice. So a lot of best practices around how to use the tool, and a lot of it has to deal with, like, here's the TFS and Visual Studio ALM, but a lot of those practices can be applied to, they're very generic, so they can be applied to any tool, really.
Okay, well, I very much want to ask you about TFS 2012, but before I do, let's talk a little bit more about some of the larger theoretical constructs, such as continuous integration. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and why it's important?
Yeah, definitely. So continuous integration within software development is a practice of team members checking code in to a central repository and then building that code, compiling that code as often as possible. Ideally, the moment that you check something in, it should be compiled. And it's not, and it goes farther than just compiling something. It's testing your code, having unit tests, deploying your code somewhere. And the idea is that you're able to resolve any issues a lot sooner in your software development lifecycle. We don't wait until 3 months into your project and you try to build and oops, it doesn't build, and now you have to go backtrack and figure out where it went wrong, or you wait until the last moment to try to deploy your application to a test server, and then you realize, oops, we don't have everything that we need to be able to deploy there. So the whole idea is integrate all your changes that you and your team members are working on as often as you can, and test them and exercise them as often as possible to make sure that you mitigate any risk of having broken code or broken test cases.
The test cases that you're talking about, are they integration tests or also unit tests?
You start with unit tests, and then you can build it up to integration tests. And even once you get more mature, you can even get into automated the manual UI tests, if you will. So QA might have some tests that they want to run, some regression testing, and you can add those to your automated builds as well.
And how does continuous delivery relate to Agile and to Scrum?
Well, in Scrum and in Agile, you always want to deliver production-ready code at the end of every iteration, right? And in order to do that, you need to be able to test that code often, and you need to be able to have your testers test your code throughout your iteration. So by adding continuous integration and delivery to your process, you're able to provide those assemblies, provide those your executables, your applications to testers as often as you check code in. So testing is happening as you're developing rather than waiting all the way until the end to have those tests done.
Does TFS 2012, first of all, let's be clear about what that is. That's a version of Visual Studio, is that correct?
So TFS started back in 2005 as a standalone tool, and it's been brought into a toolset called Visual Studio ALM. And Visual Studio ALM includes Visual Studio, all the versions of Visual Studio that we know of as professional, premium, and ultimate, and also test edition. And Team Foundation Server is a tool that enables a lot of the features, a lot of the ALM features. So Visual Studio is used by developers and testers. Microsoft Test Manager is used by testers. Visual Studio allows you to store source control, allows you to store requirements, tasks, defect information. New in TFS 2012 allows you to store code review information and feedback. It also allows you to do automated builds and also takes all that information and gathers it all together and creates reports for you. So it interfaces with SharePoint and reporting services. So it's almost like a hub of information where everyone in your software development team is able to interact together by using TIFF Foundation Server.
The new version of TFS, which is 2012, is about to come out. What are the most exciting features that we should be looking for?
There's tons of great features in TFS 2012. The features that I'm most excited about would be the agile planning tools. So the TFS 2012, the team revamped the web access feature of TFS, and they give you some great planning tools, starting from your backlogs, your task board. You get real-time data for burndown and velocity, and you're able to do all your release planning right there on the tool. TFS 2010 gave you some of those features using some Excel spreadsheets, but TFS 2012 removes that and makes everything web-enabled and much easier to use. It's a much more agile approach. It seems like, from what I understand, the product team is embracing a lot more of the agile methodologies, Scrum. Internally, they're using Scrum, and they're using all these tools to develop, Visual Studio and all the development tools that we use as developers. The other tool, the other part of TFS that I'm 2012 that I'm really excited about is the code review functionality. Developers have been trying to do code review with Visual Studio and with many other different tools for a long time, but there's never been anything that's been out of the box, that just works out of the box, that's completely supported by TFS and Visual Studio. This is a very seamless process where as soon as you're done with your code and you're about to check something in, you can submit a code review request to someone. When they receive that code review request, they can do a diff between your files, what's checked in and the file that you're about to change, and they can annotate your files, and they can annotate specific lines of code, and then they send it right back to you, and you see all that information, and that gets tracked. So now whenever you're ready to check something in, now there's a record of a code review being done against the code that you're checking in. So now there's a much tighter integration between everything that's happening in the project. So I'm really excited about the features. It's not a huge feature, but that just shows all the integration that's happening within TFS to me.
How big a team would you say you need to have in order to take advantage of this tool?
I think I've worked with teams that are as small as 3 or 4 people, and I've worked with teams that are as big as 500 people. So it's a tool that is very flexible. And the nice thing about TFS is that you don't have to use every single feature out of the box in order to take advantage of it. You can start by just using source control, which I think most people start by going there. But you know, once you start going to the work item tracking feature where you're able to start keeping track of bugs, that enables a lot of integration, and then you can extend that to start using your automated builds and so on. So I don't think there's a, I would say, you know, a one-person team will probably just be using it for source control. But once you have more than 2 or 3 people on your team, you're able to definitely start taking advantage of all this planning and all the features like that.
How steep a learning curve is it for folks who are new to TFS?
It's not a huge learning curve. So if you're already used to using source control, and you want to start using work item tracking, I think most people have probably used a system that keeps track of their bugs or a system that keeps track of their requirements. So, it's just a matter of moving over to use another system that's gonna be keeping track of bugs, for example. Now, whenever you're checking something in, there's an additional step that you have to take to say, well, I'm associating my check-in to this one task. And actually, Visual Studio 2012 makes that process a lot simpler by keeping track of what you're working on right now. So whenever you're checking something in, it automatically associates it to it. So there is some learning curve, but I would say that if you're already used to working with the Microsoft tools and you're used to doing a lot of your work within Visual Studio, the learning curve is not that big.
I'm sitting here still reacting to your earlier answer and trying to imagine a project with 500 people working on it and how that could possibly ever be delivered. That must have been an extraordinary project.
Well, it's usually 500 developers working on different parts of projects, and you can still use something like Scrum to manage that. And what you end up having is multiple Scrum teams working together, and then someone like a Scrum Master, which is the person who's in charge of making sure that the Scrum project keeps moving forward, they would get together in something called a Scrum of Scrums, for example, and that's where they would be able to keep everything moving forward. So there's been there's ways to do it. It's not the simplest thing in the world, but there's ways to keep everyone communicating.
Must be extraordinary if you can keep all of that integrated and working together. That must be something to see. So is that why folks come to Agile Thought and to you for consultation on how to do that kind of work?
That is one of the things that we help them with. So Agile Thought, one of the main things that Agile Thought does is we're a custom software development company, we have an ALM practice. And the ALM practice, that's where we go out and basically teach our clients. We practice what we preach, basically. So internally, we build our products the same way that we go out and teach them how to build their products. So look at it just from the ALM perspective. We may have some projects where we are deploying Team Foundation Server out to globally to a company that has over 1,000 developers, or we may be working with a company that working with Waterfall, and they want to become agile. So they come to us and they ask us, okay, help us get there, and then we create a plan for them, and we work with them. So a lot of coaching and a lot of on-site consulting with them to help them get there. And that's most of my work. Most of the work that I do is ALM consulting, where I am helping them migrate to different tools. I'm helping them adopt best practices, adopt agile practices, help them with their testing, help them with their understand how to do unit testing and things like that.
And what platforms are you working on? Is it Silverlight and WPF? Is it Win8? Is it now HTML5? Or are you not restricted in those ways?
We're not really restricted to any specific platform. We are a Microsoft Gold partner in a few different specialties. So most of our focus is in the Microsoft stack. But yeah, we actually have quite a few projects that are iOS once you step out on the ALM side of things, we're completely technology agnostic. It's more about the process and about the best practices and not so much about specific language or specific tooling.
So how is it that you came to be a Telerik insider? What path led to that?
One of the things I do, as we talked about earlier, I run the Orlando.net user group, and we have a yearly code camp, and Telerik has been sponsoring our events and our code camp and also our user group for a long time. Talking with Emily, who's one of the people from Telerik, talking back and forth and just learning about the different programs that you guys offer, we started talking about ALM and the fact that I do a lot of speaking in the community, and it was just a really good fit where the Telerik insiders was looking for someone that was knowledgeable in ALM, so that I could go and speak to different groups. And I was looking for help with travel and things like that, it was just a good fit in that sense. So the Telerik Insiders program is a group of experts in the community that that go around and speaking about different Microsoft technologies and just different technologies overall. Sometimes we talk about some Telerik products, but that's not necessarily our focus. And Telerik sends us out to different user groups or different community events such as code camps, and we speak to the community about technology.
Now, you mentioned the Orlando Code Camp, which is certainly a very well-known code camp. When is that, and what will it be covering this time?
So we run the code camp every year at the end of March. So we just had one about 5-6 months ago. And we cover the entire Microsoft stack. This last code camp, our biggest draws were JavaScript and HTML5. Those were the big things this past year. But we have everything from just general .NET. We have some Agile stuff. We have Windows Phone 7. We had some Windows 8 talks, MVC, ASP.NET. We had Kinect, SQL Server, Azure. So pretty much we had 600 attendees. We had over 50 speakers. We had 72 sessions, so we have 12 different tracks across 6 different time slots. So we have a pretty good mix of everything, and we'll be having it again next year. We're looking for the specific date, but it will be probably the last couple of weeks of March. So, if anyone's going to be interested in speaking or attending, OrlandoCodeCamp.com, that's where we will have all the information. This past year, we had John Papa. He was our keynote speaker. I believe you had him on your show a couple shows ago.
Yes, John is terrific.
Yeah, definitely. So, and he's local here in Orlando now, and so we had him as our keynote speaker, and he did a couple of talks on JavaScript. So it was great having him, and we had, I believe, over 10 MVPs. We had 2 regional directors, which was one of them was John Papa, the other one was Elijah Maynard, and we had people from the Florida.NET community that came and spoke with. I don't know if you've been to one of the Florida community events, but we have a very, very good community here. Some great speakers, a great set of MVPs here, and a lot of rising stars in the speaker community as well.
And I understand that Orlando Code Camp is one of the biggest code camps in the country.
Yeah, definitely. I from what I understand, of the purely .NET code camps, we're in the top 5 in the nation as far as attendance. It's a very, very great time for everyone. It's you're able to, do tons of networking with with some great speakers, and also some attendees are very engaged, and we just had our 7th annual, so we're going on our 8th, so it just keeps getting better and bigger every year.
Let me, before I let you go, ask you a little bit about Windows 8. One of the questions that comes up quite a bit for XAML programmers is whether they should go with what they know and build Windows 8 in XAML, or they should go where the excitement seems to be at the moment, as you suggested, with JavaScript and HTML5. Since your organization is relatively agnostic as to platform, do you have any impressions as to where folks ought to be focused for Windows 8?
I think that if you already have a very strong skill set in XAML, I think you need to leverage that, and you'll have a leg up on a lot of people by leveraging your current skills. But you should not ignore what's happening in the whole JavaScript side of the world, even some the C++ side, right? So I think that leverage what you know already, but also start learning the other skills, because that you'll be able to take advantage of some additional features that will be available to you.
And from an ALM perspective, is there stronger languages and weaker, or?
Not necessarily. It's more about the practice. It's about, one thing that I tell a lot of people, you can write really bad code in any language. It doesn't really matter which one. So it's all about practices and standards, and making sure that you're getting better every time. So, ALM encompasses a lot of things, and Agile encompasses a lot of things. So you could go out and say, well, we're going to become Agile and tomorrow we'll be Agile. Well, it's really difficult to do that. But if you say, well, these are the 10 things that we're going to try to adopt, and you start adopting one of them at a time, and you start getting better, and every iteration, every month, you and your team get better at doing what you do, right? You're developing better software faster every single time. That is the best way to measure whether you're really adopting Agile or not. But as far as the specific language, it really doesn't matter.